the Co-Creator Network and wherever you are listening from. Thanks so much for being with us today. Just want to let you know again that this will be a repeat episode coming up in just a couple of moments here on CITR. So if there, I've tried to edit out any dates, but if there is any mention of dates, it's probably not relevant at this time. And if you have feedback for this show, you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com, and just click on the contact tab, and there's a little form you can fill out and let me know your thoughts about the show, or if you have recommendations for interviews or subject matter that you think applies to this show and to the world. So without any further ado, let's grab this interview for you. Hope you have a great day. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with me today. And today we're going to be speaking with Bertrand Dorey, and I will give him a little bit of an introduction in just a moment. I just want to let you know that I'm actually moving away from the spirituality, and I'm going to be focusing more on psychology and science and things like that, with regards to happiness and having a fuller, more enjoyable life with lots of well-being and connections. So I'm not exactly sure when this change is going to officially take place, and I'm going to be doing a show where people can call in with their ideas coming up sometime in the next couple of weeks, probably, just so that I can get your feedback on what kind of things you'd like the show to focus on as we move more towards psychology and science. And yeah, so if you think that you might be missing a show in the next couple of weeks and you might miss that opportunity to call in and give me your feedback, please just feel free to email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com. You can find my website, spiritualshow.com, and you can just contact me there, spiritualshow@gmail.com. So today we are speaking with Bertrand Dorey. You can find him at bertranddorey.com. And he is an inspirational and transformational speaker. Bertrand has been studying the art of speaking and is a competent communicator with Toastmasters. Toastmasters is awesome. And he also is a coach, an author, and he has a radio show. And today he's going to be speaking with us about living a balanced life and reaching your goals. So welcome to the show, Bertrand.
Thank you very much, Mary, and it's really an honor for me to be here, and I just love to be able to share this message and help people, so thank you.
Thank you. Well, maybe you could give us a little bit of background on how you got started in the work that you do. What led you to this path?
Oh, what led me? I was kind of pushed into this path, I must be honest. Before, I was more working into high technology and mathematics, so that's my background, and my life was really good, and I was really happy, but maybe at some stage it became a little bit too good for me, and that's when everything started to change, and over a couple of weeks, everything in my life collapsed, everything I created, so my business, my clients, my income, my relationship with my family, and suddenly I was without an income, without anything to do, without even knowing who I was anymore, because I was so scared at the time and so lonely that I did not know what would be tomorrow and what I was here to be able to do and own and have. And this is when I started really to say, okay, there must be something different. And of course, I started reading the books of Wayne Dyer and all these kind of inspirational teachers. And they opened to me this thing that our thoughts are really what makes us create a life that we want. And then I explored this. I explored this, and I became completely fascinated by this. And I realized that my crash was not really me being pushed, but it was me thinking that this was too good for me. And because we are so powerful, I created all the conditions that this happened. And this is how I got started. And I must say, it has been a very, very unique journey and unique path. I would never would have expected to be an author or radio host or doing what I'm doing today. But it's like life unfolded for me in this way, and I guess that this is my mission in this life.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that introduction. So I'm curious, Bertrand, how long ago was that it was things were too good and then they fell apart?
Roughly 4 years ago.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, roughly 4 years ago. And that was really when I started to go into my darkest hours. So I must say the first year was not very pleasant. It was quite difficult. But this is when I started to meet people that also helped me. So not only I was reading the stuff that from every teacher that I could find, but also people that I was meeting were confirming to me that I had something to share that was very unique. So that's really what led me on this path, and also what helped me to dig a little bit deeper and to find for myself what was my own journey and also how to create a life that was my life today. And that's just wonderful.
Awesome. So what is it that is unique about what you're sharing as opposed to all of the other spiritual teachers and coaches out there?
Oh, that's a good question. What is unique? I guess it's not that unique, because I think that we are all sharing the same message, more or less, that we have the power within us and we have all our gifts and talents and abilities that we want to express. And what we need to do is to be able to have the courage to find these gifts, talents and abilities, but also to be able to shine in the world. And that's very easy to say, and it's very much more difficult to do. Because as soon as we start to find something that we want to do, as soon as we find that we have a special gift or even a dream, our own voice, and I like what you said, that you're moving from spirituality to psychology, because it's our own voice, it's our own emotions, it's our own self-judgment that is going to stop us from doing this. So what I usually like to work is on several aspects at the same time. One is creating this path where we discover our own gifts. So being okay with the unknown, being okay with, I don't know who I am today, but I know that I have this inside of me, and I'm ready to take this path. But people need some support to be able to do this, and also need somebody to hold their hand to be able to do this. The second thing is to then be able to express their gifts, and that's really the experience, and also getting the feedback that what we are doing and what we are sharing and who we are becoming is great and is okay. And then also is to be able to let go of what is holding us back. So all these kind of limiting messages and so on. And I think for me was the most difficult was when my life crashed and I was thinking, oh, this is really too good for me and I can't have this. But now reflecting back a few years after, I realized that not only it was very good for me because part of my gift and talents were not expressed, but also I have this image of myself that I can't, from the background I'm coming from, I can't have this kind of life because it was not right, because I was feeling guilty at some level, because nobody in my family ever had this. And I think that all of these kind of subconscious messages that we have, image, a dialogue, beliefs, guilt, shame, and so on, everything emerged. And it was not easy. And I think that everybody has this. Everybody that is trying to expand out of the comfort zone is going to hit this kind of limitation and this kind of self-talk. And this self-talk can really stop us from moving forward and keep us into this place of being stuck. Does this make sense, Marie?
Yes, it does. And it brings up another question about the guilty and, you know, this life is too good for me. My family never had it this good. Why do you think it is that we have these beliefs within us?
Why? Because I think that when we grew up in a family, of course, we see that things may not be exactly what we wanted our family to be or whatever, because I come from a very, very, not poor, but a very modest family. And it was quite difficult to be able to blend with other children who had more money and had more freedom and went on holidays and so on. So it was quite difficult. But same time, it's our family. So this is not only the model that we want to take on in our lives, but also because they are our parents and they do the best they can, suddenly we realize that, hey, if my life gets better, am I destroying my family? Am I really, do I have the right to have a better life than my family? Is it not something that is very, very respectable for me, or very something that I value, that they really sacrificed everything, even if they didn't have a lot? So we suddenly start to have this need to belong into a tribe of origin, but also this need of not being judging or not being better than our family, because we feel that they did the best. And we feel at some level that it's not right, that it's even wrong to do this. And it's more a conscience, a thing, something that we were told what is right, what is wrong, and so on. And we were probably told at some level that it was wrong to have a better life than our family. And I think that the guilt starts to come from this and start to be expressed because it is wrong for us to do this.
It's so amazing, our perceptions, because it seems completely illogical to do better than your family. You would think from a logical standpoint that that would be a good thing, because then you'd be able to potentially help your family. They wouldn't be burdened with worrying about you. And yet within us, we almost have this opposite pull.
Yeah, it is illogical, but our mind is not logical sometimes. You know, it really take shortcuts that is not logical at all. And in this case also, there is another aspect that I forget to mention, is that we always want to be loved by our family. So there is a risk for our mind, not for us, but our mind may say that there is a risk if we really succeed in our life now today, will I be rejected, or will I lose the love that they had for me? Because maybe our family talked about rich people in a certain way because they were looking at the lives around us, around them, and they realized that other people had a better life, had an easier life, and so on, and they were probably talking badly about them. Suddenly, if we become the rich, we become the people that they were talking badly about, or the people that we thought that were hurting them. So suddenly our mind says, if you're becoming rich, and you're right, Mary, when you say this, that of course we can help them, but also we become the bad people that hurt our family. So are we going to do this? Is it not dangerous for us to do this? And our mind starts really to unroll all this discussion and then stops us from having what we really want and creates this guilt or this shame or whatever, so that we stop in our tracks.
Thank you, Bertrand. Well, it is time for a break, so we will continue this conversation in just a moment. Thank you so much for being with me. We're speaking right now with author, speaker, radio host, and coach Bertrand Dorey. You can find him at bertranddorey.com, BERTRANDDORY.com. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks.
Can a rigorous examination of current events help us think more clearly about the meaning of such foundations in the light of institutions and emotions, virtues and vices? Come out Wednesday, November 29th, in McLeod, Room 254, to join Professor Thomas Heilig in discussing a close examination of the foundations of democracy, religion, and the current crisis. This event is sponsored by the UBC Graduate and Faculty Christian Forum.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
You've tried. You've talked.
We know it's not always easy to speak up.
That's where we come in.
We're the Ontario Child Advocate.
And we're here to amplify your voice.
If you're a young person
and you're not getting what you need, contact us. Whether you're seeking information about your rights or have questions about decisions being made about your life,
the Ontario Child Advocate can help you.
Contact the Ontario Child Advocate at
416-325-5669 or visit our website,
ontariochildadvocate.ca.
Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pianese Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
This is a repeat episode. Please be advised, references to date and time may not be applicable at this time. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we're speaking right now with Bertrand Dorey. He is a speaker, author, coach, and radio host. Welcome back to the show, Bertrand.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for being with me today. And we were talking before the break about how we have these beliefs and this guilt within us that is sort of projected onto us by our families when we hear the way they talk about successful people or just their views of the world in general. We kind of take those on subconsciously. And if the things that we want in life go against those things that we heard while we were growing up, then we're going to have some kind of a block. So what do you do with the people you work with? How do you start to break that down?
Well, the first thing is to realize that we have these blocks, and that's not always easy because at one level, it is a belief or it is something that we are so used to. It's very familiar to us. So we may not even recognize this, or we may resist this. So it's the first step is to recognize that we have them, and is to look at several situations. So what I like to do usually is, and I can do this small exercise here, is to put people into an extreme situation. So let's say you want to get wealthy, or you want to have a great relationship, and these things don't really happen. So just imagine that you're going to see your parents and you have really the most outrageous car and suit, you know, a suit that will cost maybe a year of wages or something like this. And you talk to your parents and they look at you. What are you telling them? What are they telling you back? That's really this dialogue that is in your mind that are really starting to identify what are these limitations that we have, what are these beliefs that we have, what are these fears that we have. And once we start to identify them, and it's not always easy to do, but it is by doing these kind of exercises that we can really find them. It is to be okay with this, the first thing. Because a lot of coaches are trying to put on top of our beliefs a new affirmation or a new picture or do a vision board, but this doesn't really work because if we have something inside of us that says that this is wrong, we will not get this. Our mind will not allow us to do something that is wrong. Our mind will not allow us to do something that is putting us at risk. So we need first to be okay with them. And I like to do this exercise really with people, and I do this with myself nearly on a daily basis still. I just go very deep into this, and I sit with this. I sit with this fear. I sit with this belief. And I let it be for a while. Maybe 5-10 minutes, depending of how deep it is. And then after I start to question it. And I start to question it and wonder if it's right. If it's true, not right, but if it's true that this belief is the truth or not. And I start really to question this. And I start to look at my life today and I say, okay, maybe it was okay when I was 5, maybe it was okay when I was 4. But today, who I am today, is it still very true? Is it still something that is useful for me? Is it something that I need to carry on? And I really question this with my clients, and we really dance around this for a little while with questions and see how this is leading to other beliefs, because there is always another core belief behind this. And we turn around this, and then we take a decision. And the decision usually is, do I need to keep this or not? Or is it that now, what I'm thinking today, with what I know today, is it that if I now put a new thought into my mind, and I start to unthink this one, then it will change? Because the thing is, Mary, is that most of our thoughts have a life that we don't even know about. For example, you can think about your car. Your car, you know where it is, and you know that this thought is real. You were not thinking about this consciously until I started to mention this. And it's the same with our beliefs. They are always being thought of, and they're always creating this reality in our lives. And when we start to question them and we start taking decisions that I need to stop thinking about this, then it is the moment where this thought itself will lose its power. And then we can put another thought, another seed into our mind that will create a better life for us. Does this make sense? I know this process is a bit complex, but does it make sense for you?
Yeah, it makes sense. And so what would you say a typical client, how long do they need to work on this before they clear this stuff?
Well, the how long is depending of how long they want to see the truth or not. Clearing the stuff is very easy, and it's done within minutes, in fact. As soon as we identify this, and as soon as we identify that this is something that is not serving us, it already starts to lose its power. It is more the finding this that takes the time that needs to be taken, because we have our own defense mechanisms all the time. But also sometimes we have this fear of, who would I be if I don't have this? You know, who would I be if I don't have this excuse? Because now I know that this is stopping me from being too great or too good or to go out in the world and do something of meaning. But I can't do this because I have this excuse, and this excuse is keeping me safe but also keeping me small. Now, we are more scared, well, we're scared of our shadow side, of course, because it's something that we don't like, but we are more scared of our ability to shine in the world than not shining in the world. I don't know if this makes sense, but it is very scary to say to ourselves that we are amazing people and that we have amazing gifts and that we have a potential to make a difference in the world that is really unique to us. And that idea is usually fought by people because they don't really want to see themselves as this amazing kind of person.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and I'm also looking for clarification, because you mentioned that these beliefs, you said that these beliefs can be cleared within minutes, and yet people are holding on and still using that as an excuse. Well, for me, by my definition, then it's not cleared. Just being aware of a problem but not having the ability to let it go or let it stop controlling your life, to me, that's not cleared. So can you tell me more about what you mean by the difference between clearing and being done, being free of this problem or issue or burden?
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I wasn't clear. I would say that the discovery itself is the key here. And people sometimes don't want to discover this. When I say people, I'm including myself into this group. Because sometimes we have beliefs that we don't know are here. That's the first thing. And second, our mind is really protecting them. So we have a feeling about this. We feel bad about something, or we feel that life is not really working, and we know that there's something here. But our mind will not let us, or we are not ready to discover what it is, because we are scared of what it is, because it may be very, very bad. So the discovery of the beliefs is where we have the most resistance. Once we discover this, usually we discover that something that is not helping us. In this case, once we found it, it is very, very easy to clear it. But it is usually the emergence of the belief. It's usually what is behind a feeling, an emotion, or even a situation that we don't really want to see. And this is where our mind is resisting. Does this clarify or?
Well, so it sounds like you're saying that if we can get to that root memory, that the thing that triggered that belief, then it will be gone. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, we don't always need to go to the root memory. Sometimes it's just a decision. If we realize that a belief, let's say it's too good for me, or it's too good for people like me, or like my family. Okay, once we decide that, okay, we look at this and we see the pattern in our life, and we realize that that was something that was said over and over by our parents, and we realize that that this was their way of thinking, but we were bathing in this energy, we were bathing in this environment, so we took it on, but also we took it on by love, and we also took it on for other reasons, like I want to take this away from my family because I don't want them to suffer anymore, because when we are little, we still are aware of our own power, and sometimes we want to take this from take the pain from our family, and we take it on to us. So once we have this belief here, and it's not always finding the root cause itself, because there's not always a traumatic event, but sometimes it's just be able to recognize that, yes, I took this on, and it's part of me now, and I'm ashamed of this. So once our mind is starting to say, oh, yes, this is really bad for you, you can't really say this, you can't say this about yourself and so on, you know, if this goes out, people are going to judge you, people are not going to love you anymore, then the beliefs can't really come out. Our mind is really putting layer and layers and layers on top of this. In this case, we can't really touch it. We can't really find what it is. So again, the process then is to find other situation where we go in, and other situation where we feel bad, and other situation where we're stuck in our life, and try to find another way to access this core belief. And at some stage, it will loosen. It will loosen also its own potency, and then we can start really to work with it. So it is really this work of discovery. And if we do this work of discovery with curiosity rather than with fear of finding something that is really bad, or even of being scared that, yeah, we have this belief. Because when we are in this world where everything is so, especially in the world of the law of attraction and coaches and so on, we need to be positive. It's sometimes very difficult for us to say, yeah, you know what, I was scared of having a great sexual relationship, let's say, because my family never had this, or my family was ashamed of this, or it was something we never talked, or religion was telling us that this was bad. And suddenly we can't even think about this. We can't even accept that we were thinking like this, or that we had this kind of desires or whatever it is. Does this make sense?
I think so. For me, I'm still not clear on why and how, where. Like, some people will go to therapy and they're fixed in like a week, and other people will be in therapy for 20 years and they've moved like maybe an inch. So, and yet they're doing the same work. So I'm just trying to understand what, you know, like there's obviously something missing for the people who aren't getting the results that they need. And yet, I don't know, like knowing where it comes from and knowing the belief and deciding that it's holding you back. I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily enough. It might be for some people. Why isn't it for others?
Yeah, why isn't it for others? Because I think that it's all about the defense mechanism that we have in our mind, and the more we made it wrong also at some stage, and the more we repress this, and the more we decided that we can't talk about this, the more it's protected in our mind. So yes, you're right. In some cases, especially with traditional therapy, we need to talk about this, and we need to express this. The difference of my approach is that I put people in some specific situations, and I really try to listen to their words. So my job is not only to put them in the situation, which is normally not very, very comfortable, I must say. It's fun, but it can become really, really uncomfortable after a while, because we start to have this mix of emotions in our mind, and the words are not making sense anymore at some stage. But the words that are expressed at this moment are, for me, the key word that I'm following to find the belief. So because I'm putting really people in this situation, I don't really want them to find by themselves how or what is stopping them.
So two things then. When you say putting someone in a situation, you mean like they're playing that out in their mind while they're with you, right?
Yes, yeah, of course.
And then you said that you don't want them discovering that on their own. And is that because they wouldn't feel safe to do that on their own?
No, they can do this on their own. They can do the same process. But what I'm saying is not the traditional way of approaching this, where you ask them to talk about their life and how it is and how they feel about their life, because people are usually very ashamed of this side of things. So they are going to not only dance around, but they are going also to avoid the subject very, very often, and in a very smart way, by the way. So what I'm doing is, by putting them in this situation and playing this in their mind, it is nearly putting them in face of some of their really deepest fears. And if the deepest fear is, like the example I said, that you come back home, you have a suit that is just extraordinary, you know that your parents are going to look at you like you came from Mars and you are the enemy nearly. That's a situation that is quite extreme. But by putting people in this extreme situation, in the safe mind, if you want, that's when we are going to see what is really so extreme for them. Because there's nothing wrong by coming back home and say to your parents, hey, mom and dad, look, I succeeded in my life, and thank you for doing this. As you said before, that's something really great, and we should all be able to do this. But because we have these beliefs, and we have these thoughts, and we have this conditioning, and we have this guilt, suddenly we can't do this. And if we can't do this, that's really showing that there is something in our psyche or in our emotions or in who we are that is stopping us, that is really putting a label on this, that is judging us. And that's really how I put people in this situation, and then we get okay with this. Does this make sense?
I believe so, yeah. I'm still, I've been on this journey for quite a long time, and it seems to be an exponential, like I grow exponentially every year. And yet, every time I uncover something, there's this whole new thing that I have to work on. So,
and is that going to stop? I'm sorry for you, Mary, but is that going to stop? But that's also the beauty of this journey, to be honest with you. The way I'm looking at this, because it's the same for me, I'm not going to hide this, I'm not going to say, okay, you know what, my life is extraordinary. Yes, it is, and for many people, it is extraordinary. And my growth has been exponential too. I can't say this word.
Exponential.
But every time that I'm doing something new, or every time that I'm engaging in new projects, usually the projects are bigger, the people that I'm reaching are more people, and so on. But every time I'm hit with my own limitations again, my new limitations, or the one that were still here, but that I managed to cope with them before, I'm not really sure, or that I managed to transcend to a certain extent, but they're still here, and this journey will never stop. So if you start to look at this with more curiosity and say, okay, wow, that's cool. Now there's another thing that I need to transcend here, because that was really what is holding me back a little bit more. But once I'm over this, then this means that I'm going to reach more people. I'm going to be more alive. I'm going to be more passionate. I'm going to have a better life. I'm going to be able to express more. That's really what the magic of life is, I think. It is being okay with this also.
All right. Well, it's time again for another break. We are speaking with Bertrand Dory. You can find him on his website, bertranddory.com. I'll also have a link up to that on my site, spiritualshow.com. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Sometimes it seems like the only thing
you can count on in life is the fact that Mint Records will always have an Xmas party and always have it ridiculously early. This year, join Woolworm, Needles and Pins, Jay Arner, Supermoon, Kelarisa, and Dumb at the Astoria on December 2nd for music, presents, and Xmas fun.
Indigitization is a program that provides resources and training for First Nations and Aboriginal organizations throughout British Columbia. Come out November 24th from 1 to 4 p.m. in room 2311 in the AMS Nest for a three-hour workshop that will engage participants in a conversation about the unique context of working with Indigenous cultural heritage materials, as well as introduce the tools and equipment necessary to digitize audio cassettes for long-term preservation.
High school is not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
This is a repeat episode. Please be advised, references to date and time may not be applicable at this time. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're speaking right now with Bertrand Dory. He is a speaker, an author, a coach, and a radio host. And we've been talking about getting past your blocks, identifying your blocks. And I'm curious, Bertrand, if there's one thing that someone was going to, one step someone was going to take today that would really make a positive impact in their life, what would you recommend?
What would I recommend? One step. Well, I would say it's probably the decision to be more authentic in their life. Well, there are two steps. Is that first, be more authentic in their life, and then to see how life is responding to them. What I want to say here is that if they decide to, in some situation, let's say with a child or with a spouse or with a colleague at work or a friend, to for once express who they are, express their own ideas and so on, and then to be able to see how the response comes back. Because that's really where they will get a lot of feedback, and they will also see that what they have to say is usually of great value. Because people usually stop and they don't really express who they are and what they want to say. And I'm not saying about anger here. I'm talking about really a message of compassion, maybe, or a message of understanding, a message of patience, and to see how the other person is going to respond to this. I did this with my own daughter, and I would say that, you know, when I'm a single dad, so when you're a single dad, it is sometimes difficult, and there was also a situation with a mom and so on. So there was a lot of anger, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering for my daughter for quite a while. And I decided then to change the way that I was interacting with her and really send her love no matter what. So even when she was at the extreme and being, you know, she's very good. A teenage girl is very good at finding the right triggers and the right button to push and how to hurt me. And she's really an expert in this. But instead of reacting to this, I was always going to say, okay, no, I'm going to love you no matter what, and I love you. And I know that this is just a cry for you to attention or something like this. And just by doing this, her life completely changed within maybe 3 to 4 months. So, but I needed this feedback as I was moving on, and this feedback was just amazing. So if people are doing this and change the way that they are interacting, then the feedback will come. What it will allow them to do also is then ask the question, why do I don't do this all the time? What is this voice inside of me that stops me from doing this? What is this fear that stops me inside of me from being this authentic person? And that will also help them then to find some of the fears, beliefs, and self-judgment that they have.
So, Bertrand, it sounds like what you're saying is when someone's being authentic, they're just being loving all the time.
No.
No? Okay.
But in some cases, yeah, it's being patient and loving and compassionate. Sometimes also you also have to express some anger. But the anger doesn't need to last. You know, the problem with anger is that it is an explosion, and that's okay. And I think sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's a disagreement, and it's okay also. And we can have different opinions and different point of view, and that's fine. But it is not carrying this anger more than it needs to be. But what we do sometimes, usually, is we get angry and then we stonewall. Oh, we don't want to be wrong. And we just decide to carry this not only for an hour, not only for 2 hours, not only for a day or 2 days, sometimes a week. And that's not authentic anymore. Because our true thing is to say, okay, I express my opinion, I hear your point of view, we don't agree, I'm not happy with this, but hey, that's two different points of view, and now I'm going to share with you my presence and my love.
All right, thanks.
Does it make sense?
It does.
I know you're very big in authenticity, but I think this is what it is, and it is also the same in relationships, and instead of carrying a battle or carrying something, is to turn this into a playfulness, because I believe more and more that at the core, we are very joyous people. And of course, we are living in a world also. And we have emotions, and we have ideas, and we have point of views. And all of this is okay. But we have to express our own presence, our own understanding, our own compassion, and who we are with the other person. And I think that this is really the true essence of who we are. And the more we do this, the more it becomes who we are.
All right. Thank you, Bertrand. So I wanted to ask you, actually, you have a club on your website, Express Your Greatness.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that?
Sorry?
Can you tell me more about that, about your club?
Yeah, I can. That's nearly a little baby of mine. What I found is that, you know, all this work, and you mentioned this before, and I think that you're completely right here, is that every time we have to transcend a new step and become a little bit more, and this is natural in life, because we are always growing as a person, and what we want to find really is who we truly are. And I think this is our mission in life, and that's, I know it's a more spiritual view, but I truly believe this. So we are usually in this position where we are growing all the time. But what's happening is when people have been stuck, have been hurt for years, have been suffering for years because of lack of money, because they have been looking for a partner and they never find the right person because of the hurt of their past, or not past life, but their past, their own past. In order to change this, they need to keep on going until they see results. And we don't tend to do this. We tend to stop at the crucial moment where we are at the verge of doing the breakthrough. And what this membership is about, or this club is about, is for people to get different perspectives, different information. It's like the new seed that they're going to plant, have some new hope, new meaning in their lives, see what is really possible for them, and then really to work on weeding what is happening. And what I really wanted to do here is to provide a place where we can do this weeding as long as it takes for everybody, and then have the community itself support everybody. Of course, I would be here to support, I would be here to coach, and I would be here to guide. But what a better story than to know that you're called Mary, but to know that a another woman called, I'm finding her name now, but anyway, it doesn't matter, a guy called Mike has done the same thing and now has managed to transcend this. Imagine how inspired you become when you see other people be able to do this. How great you become when you can inspire other people to do something because you succeeded. And that's the full ethos of this community, is to put people together. I will guide, I will prime the information, I will see the information, I will guide them into the healing process and letting go process. But then the community itself has its own life and it becomes the inspiration for everybody. It's a place of celebration, the place of I keep on going just one more day. And sometimes it's all it takes. It's keeping on going one more day, one more day, one more day. And then after 2, 3, 4 days, we may have a breakthrough. And we would have missed it if we didn't pursue this a little bit longer. And that's really what this is about.
Cool. So how do people participate? I mean, they can go to your website, bertranddory.com, if they want more information about the Express Your Greatness community. But when, like, let's say someone first signs up, what's their first week in the club going to look like?
They get access to information, so it's a podcast. I'm putting podcasts in, and every month I'm putting a new one. So last month, because we're talking here, it was clarity, how to get clear about what we really want and why we want it and how we can start to visualize this and get clear also of the reason, the innate reason of why and also what it means for us. This month is more about forgiveness because I think the power of forgiveness is so huge and people are overlooking this. So they will just get this information and they will get the podcast to listen to, their worksheets. Then we go on a couple of live calls every month where people can come and ask their own questions, come with their own blocks if they want to, or with their beliefs, or get more understanding and get supported. And sometimes just listening, another interaction opens the door. And then, of course, there is a forum where they can share their own ideas, their own blogs. People can support each other. And when they make a breakthrough, that's really the phenomenal part, is that I make sure that everybody knows this. Because making a breakthrough is great, but you know how it is, Mary. We do something great, and then we brush it away. Oh, yeah, I have done this. I don't need this anymore. Yeah, it's okay. I've done this, but my life still doesn't work. But it is really about anchoring this breakthrough. It is about feeling this. It's about being proud of this. Because as soon as we become very proud of something that we have done, then suddenly the focus changes from what we don't have to who we are becoming. And that's really where I really want to milk this for everybody. It's really the taking this celebration and this celebration of a breakthrough and making something that will be anchored in everybody's that is part of this community.
Cool. That sounds, yeah, I like that.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, we don't celebrate our successes for long enough. It's true. We're like, oh, yeah, I did that. Okay, now what's next?
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was last week.
It's completely true, and I think we do this in everything in our life, in really everything. And objectively, if everybody will look back at their own lives and just really objectively, even with an eye of a good friend or something like this, not with our own mind, because our own mind is so judgmental about ourselves, and then look at everything they have done, they will see that they have done incredible things, really, things that they could not imagine 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, or 40 years ago. And everybody has done this. You have done this, I have done this, and everybody listening here. And if we really took the time to acknowledge this and really realize what we have done and what the skills we have today, then we will have a different perspective of life, and then we will have also more this confidence that we can do more in our life because we can do it because we have done this in the past. Unfortunately, our mind is very, very judgmental and we only look at what doesn't work rather than what works.
Mm-hmm. And we're always looking
for our minds are kind of wired to look for novelty, which is probably why we, if it works okay, then we just sort of disregard it because we don't need to fix it. So we're looking for things that are new and exciting and novelty, and also all the problems that we want to fix.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And our mind is, yeah, it's looking for this, and sometimes it's also looking for novelty as a distraction, and so that we don't really look in very deep into the core of what's happening into our own mind and in our own life. What I found is that the most deep moments of joy that I have are when I'm not looking for novelty. I know our mind is trying to do this, but it's when I'm just going out to the nature. And nature is, okay, ever-changing and ever-moving, but sometimes it's always the same. And that's when we get this sense of, yeah, this is here around us. This is always here. And it's changing all the time. But doesn't need to have all these new things coming all the time also. So there is this balance inside of us. And I think that if we get in peace with who we are, how we contribute in the world, our place in the world, how we can contribute with other people, our relationships, then suddenly we have much more peace in taking a step and understanding our mind, our dreams, our life, and where we want to go.
Mm, beautifully said, Bertrand. Thank you. I'm just wondering, before we wrap up, if there's anything that you want to add or summarize for listeners to take home today.
Well, I'm just realizing that it's nearly 1 hour. I didn't realize this. I would say it's the thing that I would say is the most is it's okay. Wherever you are in your life today, it's okay, and you have created this. And it's more or less like I created my own situation after 4 years ago. It was a thought. And the thought is just a thought. And if you can work and if you can really find it, then you can undo everything really that created this. I'm not saying it's always that as easy, because, of course, we create new beliefs, we create new fears, we create more judgment and so on. But it is possible, and nobody is broken. And everybody listening here is not broken. It's just that we have some kind of thinking process in our head that we can change. And once we agree that this is something that we can do and we are ready to face this, our life can change within a heartbeat. We always hear about these people who are overnight success. Yes, they're overnight success, but what we forget to look is that sometimes they had to go a few years, or sometimes a few months, of very difficult hard work without any success, and this happened in one go. That's a breakthrough, and everybody can have a breakthrough whenever they want to. And I would say get supported, get help. It's an amazing journey. It's fantastic. It's great, but sometimes it can be very lonely. And the more help you have, the better it is. And put it in your life. Implement it in your life. Implement your growth in your life. See how your life reflects. And be ready also to say, okay, today my life reflects to me that I don't get any money, I don't get any job, I don't get any relationship or whatever it is. Yeah, it's okay. It's just my thought. I can change them. I have the power to do this. I'm not powerless anymore. I think everybody can really get this message. That would be fantastic.
Thank you so much for your time, Bertrand. It was such a pleasure speaking with you today.
Yeah, same for me. You're really a great host, and I really loved your question, and you're amazing. Thank you,
Bertrand. Well, I'll talk to you soon. So again, that was Bertrand Dorey. You can find him at bertranddorey.com, BERTRANDDORY.com. And I'll be back next Monday with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Take care. Have a wonderful week. Be well. Namaste.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennargio Sullivan of the Tlalit Cis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to At Window, exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
This PSA was cut from a rally called Honor the Apology in Ottawa, Ontario. Those speaking are Clayton Thomas Mueller, Melody McIver, and Jocelyn Ayatoll.
Today, across this country they call Canada, is a day where we're asking for truth to come to the surface so that we can actually begin a conversation about reconciliation. Today, Canadians, newcomers, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples from all walks of life and religious denominations will reflect upon the impacts of Canada's residential schools.
The burden of this experience has been on your shoulders for far too long. The burden is properly ours as a government and as a country. There is no place in Canada for the attitudes that inspired the Indian residential school system to ever again prevail. You have been working on recovering from this experience for a long time, and in a very real sense, we are now joining you on this journey. That was Stephen Harper in 2008. Unfortunately, the burden of this experience has not been shared. We believe it is time for us to all face what happened during one of the most violent policies in this country's history. We believe it is time to take a journey of honesty together.
We now know that there is tangible violations of the Geneva Code on Genocide, that this country has committed crimes of genocide unequivocally against Indigenous peoples.
When we speak to the residential school, when we speak to the 60 scoop, when we speak to the day school, we speak about it as if it's in the history. But our children are dying and suffering.
You have just heard At Window, exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Please voice
That's
this
the
one.
Wrong mic.
I forgot.
You f- dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
Can a rigorous examination of current events help us think more clearly about the meaning of such foundations in the light of institutions and emotions, virtues and vices? Come out Wednesday, November 29th, in McLeod, Room 254, to join Professor Thomas Heilig in discussing a close examination of the foundations of democracy, religion, and the current crisis. This event is sponsored by the UBC Graduate and Faculty Christian Forum.
Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
Tired of a world of no when you have so much to give?
CITR and Discorder got you with an outfit for all that.
Volunteer Wednesdays are back in the CITR lounge.
It's an open house for members like you who are looking to meet cool people and get into the station.
Join up,
meet some folks, help some causes, or just hang the freak out.
At the CITR Discord Lounge from 1 to 3 every Wednesday for food and good times.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
Sometimes it seems like the only thing
you can count on in life is the fact that Mint Records will always have an Xmas party and always have it ridiculously early.